Welcome to Touching Hearts and Changing Lives, hosted by Reverend Otley Holmes, Senior Pastor of Shiloh Missionary Baptist Church in Mesa, Arizona, where our vision is touching hearts and changing lives by the power of His Word, Luke 4, 18 and 19. Our mission is to go ye therefore and teach all nations, Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Now, please join us in a study of the Word of God.
Welcome once again to Touching Hearts and Changing Lives. This is Pastor Holmes, your host. And as always, I thank and praise God for my listening audience tuning in. But let us approach the throne of grace together. Father God, once again, we thank you, O Lord, for allowing us to come into your presence to study your word. We pray now, Lord, that your word will go forth, Father, preparing in our hearts and minds those things that you would have it accomplished, that we might be conformed to the image of your Son, Jesus Christ. Bless those, Lord, who are listening. Bless us all together and bless us one by one. Lord, you know what we stand in need of. We just ask, Lord, that you supply all our needs according to his riches and glory, which is in Christ Jesus. We ask this all in Jesus' name, for his name's sake. Amen. Well, last week we were in the book of Acts, chapter 4, and we left off about verse 10. And I want to pick that back up a little bit right at verse 10, and then we will continue on. If you're able and your Bible is present and handy, can you open it? But if not, just follow along as we read the scriptures to you. Amen. Verse 10, be it known unto you all and to the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. Now, Peter's making reference to the lame man that was healed in chapter 3. The man had gone inside the temple because Peter and John now were expressing their faith in Jesus Christ. Peter in particular was preaching about the gospel of the good news as we know it, that the religious leaders of the day were upset and began to examine them, because any time a reported miracle was done and received and viewed, it had to be examined by the religious leadership of the day to make sure that it wasn't being done by magic or sorcery or any ungodly type power. And they had a real problem on their hands, because this man who had been born lame, who everyone in town knew had been born lame, had never walked, now was standing whole in front of them. So now Annas, the former high priest, and Caiaphas, the current seated high priest, is responsible for getting this group together. And now Peter is beginning to be questioned. Amen. And I have to restate this that I stated last week. The reason for the examination was that if they were considered to be false prophets, they were to be stoned to death under the law of Deuteronomy chapter 13, verses 1 through 5. So now they're under this examination, if you will. And we left off, I believe I told you about this is a fulfillment of the prophecy that Jesus Christ stated in Matthew chapter 10, verses 16 through 20, when he says, whenever you are examined, be aware that the Spirit of God will give you the words to say. Now, Peter's beginning his fourth message here in Acts with the bold declaration that the lame man was healed in the name of Jesus. And he says, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead. In other words, the evidence now is presented in verse 11. So let's look at this. This is the stone, verse 11, which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. So now we find that Peter is actually reciting a verse out of Psalms 118, verse 22. Now the verdict is given. The witness now puts the judge on trial in verse 12, which we'll read in a minute, as he announces the proper verdict and gives the invitation, declaring the name of Jesus is the only way to salvation. Let's look at that verse 12. And he says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now, that is a double affront, like I was saying last week, before the Sadducees, because first of all, the Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection, and they certainly didn't accept Jesus as the Christ or Jesus as the Messiah. And like the verse in the Bible says, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? So now Peter takes all of those tags, if you will, and puts them together and says, the Jesus Christ of Nazareth. So he's just right in their face, to use the vernacular of the day, telling them that there is no other name under the sun other than the name of Jesus Christ by which we have our salvation. I'm reminded of Matthew 28, verses 19 through 20, when Jesus got up out of the grave and he said, all power has been given unto me in heaven and in earth. He says, go ye therefore. And in the literal sense of that means, as you go, teach all men, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. Amen. So what he's saying is, as you go about our daily business, as we go about our jobs, as we go about when we travel through the world, even as we go on vacation, there's an opportunity, if we are tuned to the Spirit, to allow someone to be presented the gospel message. So Peter here is standing strong. Now we have the deliberation of the judges in verse 13 through 16. And let me read those. He says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and took knowledge of them, and they had been with that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them and is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. Oh, I love that. When God does something, no matter how many people may hate God, they cannot deny the visible presence of the healing grace and the miracles that God does perform in our lives. Now, the Sanhedrins are amazed at the boldness and the teaching authority of these unschooled, ordinary men with no former rabbinical teaching, no former rabbinical training. They had not been to the school of the prophets. They were just plain, everyday, ordinary men. And I don't know about you, but that's exciting and good news, because that shows us that God can use anyone he chooses to use. All we have to do is yield ourselves to the presence of God, and God will take control of our lives and produce in us things that we cannot produce in ourselves. Now, the time in the presence of Christ and his word is the greatest education that any man can have. Now, how do you and I have time and presence in with God? Well, we do that through prayer. When we pray and we meditate on the word of God, that is spending time in the presence of God. And the more time we stand in the presence of God, the more we will become God-like or Christ-like, the more we get to know him. The more we get to know him, the more our lives change. The more we get to know him, the more our confidence grows. The more we get to know him, our faith is built. And then when we have to go through the trials and the tribulations of life, we know and believe with all of our hearts that we can trust God. So it is just imperative that you and I spend great amounts of time in prayer and meditation. That's why Paul wrote in the Thessalonian church, he said, pray without ceasing. That is always be in constant communication with God. It doesn't mean we have to fold up, crawl in the corner, and shut out the world, and all we can do is just utter prayers 24/7. That would be impossible. But we ought to live our lives to such a degree that we are constantly aware of the presence of God and the talk with God when we have to make decisions. Jesus taught us by his own life that anytime he had a decision to be made, he conferred with the Father. Now, the same Spirit that is in Jesus is in us also, so we can confer with the Father, because when Jesus was crucified, the veil of the temple was rent from top to bottom. There's no longer any separation between us and God. We don't have to bring a bloody sacrifice because Jesus was the sacrifice. We don't can not only just go into the temple on the Day of Atonement, one high holy day a year, but we can go constantly into his presence because of the finished work of Jesus Christ at Calvary. Amen? So that's exciting and good news. Now, the Sanhedrin recognized that there are three things which they could not deny. One, the miracle. There is no good argument against this transformed life. Now, if we want to present the gospel of Jesus Christ to a lost person, and those who know that person used to be like, And suddenly, when they receive Jesus Christ as Lord and their Lord and Savior of their lives, and their lives are just transformed miraculously, there's no denying the transformation of that person's life. Second, the message about the resurrection, neither here or any other occasion did the Sanhedrin ever even attempt to deny the historical fact of the empty tomb. Now, we have the only faith in the world that talks about the empty tomb. Amen. And lastly, the Messiah, there's no good arguments to deny the fact that Jesus was the prophesied Messiah. The frustrated Sanhedrin could not offer a single scriptural or logical argument to deny that Jesus was the Messiah of Israel and the Savior of the world. So they were at a quandary. They did not know what to do. They could not deny what they had seen in the presence of all these others, that this man now is standing there whole. There's the evidence of the empty tomb because of the resurrection. So by what authority? By the authority of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's look at verses 17 through 22. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straightly threaten them that they should speak henceforth to no man in this name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all or nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. For the man was above 40 years old, on whom this miracle of healing was showed. Oh, I'm getting ready to almost run out of time, so I don't want to go too much farther with this. We need to pick this study up again next week, and we'll go back over verses 17 through 22. But there is no denying transformed lives. That's why I personally believe it's such an affront to God when we just kind of play church. And I'm not trying to criticize anybody, but we need to make sure that when we present the gospel, we present it in such a manner that people know that Jesus is real. Well, my brothers and sisters, thank you once again for tuning in. Please visit our website, www.smbcmesa.org, and pray for me as I pray for you, and tune in again next week as we study together the Word of God. Take care and God bless.
Touching Hearts and Changing Lives radio program is an outreach ministry of Shiloh Missionary Church and is hosted by Reverend Otley W. Holmes, Jr., Senior Pastor. Please join us every Saturday evening at 7 p.m. on KXXT 1010. We're located at 56 South Robson Mesa, Arizona, 85210. And it's right on the corner of Robson and First Avenue in downtown Mesa. Service times are Wednesday evening prayer meeting, 5:30 to 7 p.m., and Bible study, 7 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. Sunday morning, Sunday school, 9 a.m. Worship service is at 11 a.m. For more information, call 480-844-2687 or email sbchurch1011@quest.net. Be sure to log on to the website www.smbcmesa.org. This program has been sponsored by the membership of Shiloh Missionary Baptist Church.